English Cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? It's great to be back stateside. Great to be back in the bunker. And the bunker is an appropriate term. You might be remote, but it is war room these days, sir. Like, for Manchester United front office, because this is when a club shows their worth. Crisis mode. How do they step up? Cricket, sir. Lead the man in. But lots of stuff happening even between me landing on Monday, getting back from the UK. But sir, how you doing? How we feeling? Ready for Spurs? Lads of Tottenham.
Sir, we got a lot to discuss, a lot to break down. I mean, we talked to you when you were in Manchester right after the game. Scraggly voice and all. Sounded like you had a few dark ales singing your heart out in the Stretford End, sir. I think the best place to start is with the Scouse Bastards fixture. You had a chance to land and digest it. You said it's the worst you've ever seen us play. Walk us through. Did you see anything when you watched the highlights? I know you like going to a game and then kind of seeing the TV camera angle view is a little different. So what were your key takeaways from that game?
Sir, watch the highlights. You think I watched the highlights of that game? I live that game. And the takeaway was Manchester, this club, is full of confidence. You know, they were back of their manager. They weren't fearing nothing. And you could feel the enthusiasm, the excitement heading into the match. Full voice. Everyone's back. You know, I know we're not quite back to normalcy, but in many ways you felt that way in Manchester. So there was excitement leading up to the game, sir. And like I mentioned, I think I mentioned since then, is the players, there was a certain nervousness about the players when they walked into the Lowry on Saturday night. Sunday when they came out, you couldn't tell much from the stands. But the way they came out, sorry, it was like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I mean, we've seen it on TV sometimes, but you have to really be there. And maybe this game was just like so pronounced in how one-sided it was. We came out and we just looked like, I don't want to call it Ole ball, but that's just, it's going to be a lot of Ole today. Just slow side to side. They pressed the crap out of us. Like, it wasn't complicated. They're side to side. We try to pass it to Fred or McTominay. They pass it back sideways. The wing, you know, the left back, right back couldn't go up anyone because they were coming down to get the ball. We were playing for the ball over the top. And as soon as we would like try to pass in between them, we'd give it away. And we got cut open. Like, I'd never seen anything like it. Like, how easily? It was just like goal. Goal. And you know, it never looked like we even woke up from like the one after another after another. And I think that's just like why the fans were so gutted. They were, you know, in full voice welcoming on, but you tell me the play by play, I still don't want to know it, but like we were down a couple goals early, and it just, the way we went down and the way we came out, we didn't look in that game from the first minute, sir. I know that was that Bruno chance, but like even that was against the run of play in some ways. So it was a tough game. It'll be a famous game for better or for worse. So the last, you know, our combined record for American Red Devils at Old Trafford in the last couple of years is 7-0 of the bad when you include PSG. So, you know, it was something to be there. There were positives taken out of it, sir, at the end. We can talk about that later, but like the takeaway is like, no, you ain't never see a team like United play that bad in a long time. That's like 70s ball. Like we just, you can say the 6-1 with City when Fergie, but we got a player sent off, and that was also a team on the decline. But this team is like very good, and I know Liverpool are a very good team, but we came out so flat, and we looked like I had no idea what we were doing. And even, you know, there weren't enough subs at halftime. So I don't know what to say. What was it like on TV?
No, it's just, sir, we recapped the game. I mean, it was an absolutely brutal loss. You know, you said you had some insights after digesting it for a few days. It's just one of those things where I feel like you have a result like that, and then it automatically switches to, all right, manager's got to go. Or kind of not really focusing on how bad we played, right? So it just kind of, the conversation moves from that result, which is historic, right? Historic defeat at home to our bitter rival. Also, 1 point from four games in the league. That hasn't happened since LVG in 2015. And before that, I think Sir Alex Ferguson was like 90-91. So very rarely does Manchester United only have 1 point from four. But having 1 point from four and then having that historic defeat by Liverpool, you got to go. You got to go. I don't know. I don't care who you are. You got to go. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way this club is run and should be run. It's footballing men are not running it. Trust fund babies in Florida are. They're not focused on football. They don't know what they're doing. They're day late, dollar short FC. Day late decision short FC on this one. And you just have to, you got to take a moment and really look at that game, how badly we needed that win. You think of Atalanta. His neck was on the chopping block against Atalanta. That first half was abysmal. This Italian team coming into our house again, scoring two in the first half. Yeah, we have some world-class players that bail Ole out when his game plan goes out the window. And then you're like, all right, well, you got a little buzz from that. What can you do at home against the Scouse Bastards? And within 5 minutes, you said the air sucked out of the place and we're dead on arrival. Manchester United's never dead on arrival. We always fight. We always play with everything. The player should give everything for this club, and we're not seeing that. And that's the scariest thing ever. So who wouldn't want to fix that? Why would the board want to keep Ole out in front? He's got to go for the simple fact. Must-see TV, Spurs presser, Friday. That's must-see TV. It's a $3 billion business. You got PR people. It's going to look bad. And what happens if you lose? Sir, then you got Atlanta away midweek. Then you got shitty coming to our house. It can get worse.
It can get worse. It might get worse. There are like two things we could talk about in this pod. It's going to be about what's going on. I mean, Spurs, we'll talk about that. But like, I think the game is almost an afterthought in some ways. There's the element of Ole ain't the guy, and we know he ain't the guy. And it's beyond that. Like, it's unanimous, 92%. You can't get 92% of people to agree that they like ice cream. It's like, you can never get people to agree to that level. So everyone can agree that he ain't the guy, and that's unfortunate. We appreciate what he did, but it's time to go. The fact that we're watching a crisis unfold, it's borderline based on what you just said, 1.4 games.
It's a crisis.
And the front office is doing nothing, mate. They were like going to try and buy a cricket club in India or in Bangladesh or UAE or somewhere. And like, what are they doing, dude? Like you said, $3 billion business. They think it's worth 10, and it probably is some point, but you're watching them sit on their hands. You're watching the fact that you have a bunch of Bristol University accountants run this company, this firm, this club. This Manchester United is run by literally like PwC accountants, bro. Like, think they know what they're doing. Help the Glazers pull off their LBO. And now they're just, you're watching it in real time. You gave them way too much credit for pulling off the signings they did this summer. Because at the end of the day, this is when you prove your worth. When you have a crisis, the great organizations that are run well rise to the occasion, and we are shitting ourselves. And like you said, it could get so much worse. So like, how much worse would they let it get while they let just Ole take bullets for them? Because that's what they're doing at this point. They're just letting that man just like take a whipping, because he for his own sake, he needs to go. The players aren't playing for him. That's the whole point about the Liverpool game, is if you can't get up for the Scouse Bastards in form at your own house, first time it's been full like that in how long, sir? And you can't get up for that, like, that means the coach has to go because he's lost his ability to get the players up for something. And that's his whole job. So it's like, yeah, he's got to go. Now, what are you doing about getting a new manager?
Sir, I mean, for all the young men out there, American Red Devils, or even any of the women listening, you know, it's like in any relationship you've had, sir, it's coming to an end. You know, it's always better to end it earlier. You know, no one
hanging it. Band-aid, you know, bro. Like rip it off.
It's like, no, it's like one of those when you realize it's over.
It's over.
You should just be like, and you kind of let it linger. It's like, that's where you're at. It's just never good. It's like a band-aid. One motion, right off. Get him out the door. Carrick can take over.
Exactly.
The one thing they don't understand, and why they're like, oh, like, we can talk about all the reasons why they're not firing him. I mean, number one, Ole gives him so much cover. A yes man, non-controversial. If they spend money, he'll say nice things. If they back him, he'll say nice things. You know, if they try to create a super league, you know, he did kind of take a shot there. I'll give Ole credit. You know, I think that was sort of, it was funny because Klopp actually didn't really say much.
He did the opposite.
You have to give Ole credit, but for the most part, he is a yes man and he gives him cover, right? He gives him cover for not investing, taking the dividend, et cetera, et cetera. And they want that, like a Conte, a Zidane, they're like a big player and they're going to speak out. And then they could criticize the board. They could say they're not investing, just like Mourinho did when Mourinho famously didn't get a center back. That was arguably the end of that girlfriend, you know, and then it kind of festered, right? So I think they're wary of bringing someone else in who they can't really trust in that regard from a PR perspective. So that's when you're like, well, what the hell is going on at Manchester United? They don't want to bring in a manager to try to win games. They don't want to listen from a manager to be like, hey, we need to buy these really good players so we can win games. Like, yeah, Manchester United, the board, they don't care about winning games. They want to get top four, and they want a nice guy who will basically say whatever they want. Just like all, like you can look at, there's a few people in the press who will say whatever they want. Andy Mitten being one of them. Simon Stone, another one, right? They like these yes men. That's why they get all the information. So the Glazers kind of run this sort of cabal where they're pulling the wool over our eyes, where they don't want to be challenged to win titles. And this is Manchester. I'm going to say it, sir. Manchester fucking United. And we should be aiming to win titles, sir. It'll almost be a decade since our last. They're taking the dividend. They want top four, and there's no urgency around trying to win things. And if you think about it, we're just trying to stave off embarrassment. 5-0 at home. Scouse bastards. Like, 1895 is the last time we were beat that bad. I don't even think it was at home, sir. That was 7-1. I thought Liverpool took their foot off the gas. It could have been just as worse. And for them, if that's not a big moment for the board of Manchester United, what type of era are we in? This is scary.
Sir, I've said it. I said pretty, big statements like, I don't think we'll ever win a title under the Glazers. And I'm, you know, since Fergie left, obviously we've won titles since they like got their tentacles in. But I don't, because at the end of the day, the football game has gotten so competitive that you don't just throw a Cristiano Ronaldo in the mix or a Pogba. And it just happens. You know, it's like you need to have a front office that knows what they're doing. Like, if this club had any attention, they would pluck off the finest around Europe, like City did when they made a concerted effort to be an elite football club. They would get Van der Sar as their CEO. They would get a real DOF, not like John Murtaugh, bro, who is not a real DOF.
Another yes man.
Man. It's like,
no credentials. Darren Fletcher, I love you, but he's a yes man. Go down the list of everybody who's internally in this team. Ed Woodward, like you said, he's a yes man. He never worked in football before this, right? They like people who are beholden to them and aren't focused on winning titles. There has to be an elite mentality from the boardroom all the way down at Manchester United, and it ain't there, and we're seeing it, because this organization at the moment is out of its depth. 5-0 Liverpool, sir. We could go all day. Quick PSA for the podcast, sir. If you like the American Red Devils, we are four fans by fans. I got to calm down. I haven't got my new blood pressure medication yet. CVS is filling the prescription as we speak. If you want to support us, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We don't have any sponsors. We're not selling you everything other podcasts sell you. We're not interrupting the middle of the episode to go on some tangent about something you don't need. This is just, we're here just to give you the biased fan take. From the couch, Patreon allows you to support us directly. And in 2021, we think that is the best way for us to exist. We also drop an exclusive episode every month. Go behind the scenes. Sir, like you like to say, the Patreon pod, we let our hair down. Huh. We have a lot of fun doing it. We'll have one for October coming up shortly. Big shout out to our new Patreon members, Luis Garcia. Sir, I'm going to let you pronounce that second name there.
Amen.
The last name.
I don't need to say Zara Bizada.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Amen. Thank you. And then Max, your brother, signed up to be a Patreon member.
About time.
Shout out to all you guys. You're the real MVPs. Thank you so much for supporting this small time operation. It goes a long way keeping the lights on. Little remote pod here, sir. We even got some nicer audio equipment, so it should sound better. Also, check out our website, www.americareddevils.com. We have some great fan blog content. Click on store. We have some great merch. Our new t-shirts are in stock, as well as our 21-22 scarves. Check those out. They are absolutely fire. Sir, let's jump into it. We're gonna do a new format with the pod since we're talking to Ole. This is the big news. We're going to jump into United in the news first, kind of go through the timeline of everything that happened, and just kind of have an open forum discussion on Ole, the club, and everything. I mean, anytime you're a fan of Manchester United and you're in this sort of like I said, you know the relationship's over. Ole's a dead man walking. All the fans know it. For some reason, the boardroom doesn't. And it's you don't like to be in this phase, you know, because you're talking Ole, especially United legends, even more sensitive. And it's just a tough place to be, having your team have these horrible results and embarrassing results, and then not knowing the direction we're going to go, who's available, what manager we're going to get. It's just always a trying time. Sir, what is this? We're going to be on our Moisey, LVG, Mourinho, Ole. We're going to be on number five.
Number five, dude.
Number five.
And this is the arguably the most important appointment yet. You know, the one after was.
No, the most important one is the one that wins the title. And that's
yeah, exactly.
Eight or nine, sir. It's going to be.
Sir, I'm telling you. I was like, I'm not going to be lifting those silverware. And I ain't lifting it, but you know what I mean? I'm not going to be watching our faithful Reds lift another title. I don't think that my kid is old enough to go to the Bishop's Blaze with me and get drunk, sir. I think it's going to be that long. I think it's going to be a 30-year drought. I think we're going to have the same thing Liverpool had, just because like they had such a barren stretch and we had such a ridiculous stretch of success that that's how the universe goes, sir. So it's inevitable. We'll be celebrating.
You're getting a little too doom and gloom. I'm not like that. It's going to be longer than we want, for sure. The reason is the owners. It's the
exactly.
It's just the way this club is sort of floating in existence without sort of like, it needs to be new owners or new leadership that basically says, all right, stop messing around, boys. Like, we need to like really run at this thing. We got to win a title like now. Like the whole like Ole project thing, you know, we're learning on the job, yada, yada, yada. We tried that, and it's like, now look at the roster, right? So we gave this sick roster, arguably the best roster we've ever had, to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's clearly in over his head, and we need someone who can win now. That's why people are talking about Conte. I know you hate him, but like, look at this team. You can't mess around with this team right now. Paul Pogba, Jadon Sancho, Ronaldo, Greenwood, sir, I can go Harry Maguire, Varane, De Gea, Luke Shaw. You can go down the list, world beater FC right now. And it's not, and for some reason, the table's upside down. So it's like we need someone who can do something with these players right now. And it is not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. By the way, Edward Ward, I'm available for the CEO position.
Sir, it's not you. We're not talking about CEO. You probably do a better job than Edward Ward for sure. But on the coach, if we want to get into the content debate, we can now. It's just that, like, I think he's just another short-term fix, and we don't have we need someone who's going to be the football brains, because
no Conte debate. We're not having the Conte debate. I'm just saying, if you look at the roster, it is made to win silverware. Maybe not the title, but it's made to compete for the FA Cup. We squandered the EFL Cup. We'll get to that, sir.
But that's not going
to
be
made to win now. It's made to win something now. Sir Alex Ferguson finished 13th in the league, won the FA Cup. If Ole Gunnar Solskjaer finished 8th and won the FA Cup, that's something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to be winning things at Manchester United, right? It's not always about the league position at the end of the day. It's about winning. And the Europa League trophy. Okay, here's a question for you.
We lose to Spurs and we beat Atalanta. What happens, sir?
No, I'm saying, if Ole wins Europa League, is he on the hot seat right now?
I don't think he can make it to the Europa League. right? Because it's like, season,
sir, you're not understanding.
No, okay.
If he beat Villarreal and won the Europa League, is he in the hot seat right now?
No.
Exactly.
He has more. He'd be in the hot seat, but he wouldn't be like, he's fired. He needs to be fired next day. Like, oh, I'm landing back from the UK and he'll be done and dusted by the time I land. Like, that didn't happen. He would still be on the hot seat. So if the next three games are more important, but now it's like everybody knows. It's like you blew Villarreal. You were exposed there. That was like that was a damning indictment of our manager. And then like that just continued to play out basically for the beginning of this season. Same decisions, same mistakes.
With adding who?
adding three world-class players. Ronaldo. Yeah, exactly.
So it can't get worse. So we're going to go through like the quick hits here. Apparently, Sir Alex Ferguson went to Carrington. And, like, obviously, everyone thinks Ole's going to be sacked in the morning. We thought about it. Last time we talked, sacked Monday. He's not. Then he's at Carrington Rain training. Then there's rumors that Sir Alex is coming in. But then Simon Stone, he got the PR straight from Manchester United. He says whatever they want. He was being fitted for a new club suit.
That's being absurd.
He's not there.
That's absurd.
But like Simon Stone's going to tell you whatever Ed Woodward and exactly. those numpties want.
Yeah.
So most likely this is a lie.
Definitely.
And it's what Manchester United want you to hear, right? So I thought that was a little strange. So again, everyone's squirming. Now the dressing room stuff's coming out. Players didn't like the tactics. Players are wondering why certain players don't play. Here's what everyone needs to know. If you've been watching this game long enough. Once that comes out, it's over. It is
over.
Once the players start throwing the manager under the bus,
yeah.
It is the whole situation's over. It's like exposed. Emperor has no clothes.
Which happened like in an unbelievable rate. What happened like in the first couple days of this week, sir, it's been happening like every day. Like so it's over because the players knew it was over after Sunday. And Donny Van de Beek criticism by stuff about Maguire becoming captain after only being at the club for 6 months. Now Pogba saying he's definitely leaving, sir. It's like
no, but it's like the training sessions, players think that they're not like they're like McKenna's training sessions aren't good enough. Like all this stuff is like really bad and it's all coming out. It's all hitting the fan. And what you got to realize is as a fan, we've seen this many a times and at other clubs. So with Atalanta after that, there was some like murmuring about, you know, results and yada, yada, yada. Right. And then who comes out and says there's no issues in the locker room? Andy Mitten.
Yeah.
Right. He comes out. No, there are no issues, right? Those are the club guys.
Totally.
So the player guys are leaking, and then the club guys are trying to hold the line. And then they hold the line, and then boom, Liverpool defeat, which we all know. So, I mean, the locker room's been going, and that's what I'm trying to say, is the Liverpool defeat is that's the death nail because all this stuff has been bubbling and then it just blew the doors wide open on everything. Next thing here, Paul Pogba set to leave for nothing and he won't sign a new deal from Mark Ogden, right? So shots fired from Paul. Everyone's kind of scrambling right now. And this always happens whenever a manager is like on the block, players don't know where they stand. They don't know who they're going to bring in. They don't know where they stand. And then all this stuff kind of just like percolates.
And that's why it's so important they move, sir, because this is bad for business. This is bad for the brand. This is bad for Manchester United. After all the progress that's been made under this manager, right? He didn't just give in this. He built this team. It is a great team, and he helped build it. So he should deserve – he gets credit for that. I give him credit for that. But now it's too much team for that man, so he needs a coach that can drive a Ferrari. And I think Ole drives a Fiat, and that's okay. But like before, we had a Fiat, that's one thing. Now we have a Ferrari, and we need someone who can drive a Ferrari, sir. And the club needs to stop the bleeding, and that's why it's such a damning indictment that like whoever you're going to move on, you better be ready to move. It's like we were all like, oh, it'll be done. Zidane the next day, or Conte the next day. It's like, no, the board is just like, dude, they're incompetent, and they continue to be incompetent.
That was all Conte's camp.
Totally.
And then Romano. So the reason why Romano is so good is because he doesn't mess around with the whole like the, you know, the Andy Mittens or the Simon, like everything's fine. He doesn't do favors. He literally just reports it as it is. He says Manchester United internal talks, main part of the board and Sir Alex Ferguson want to give Solskjaer another chance to be in charge for the Tottenham game. Pressure's still high, though, around Ole. No official talks with Conte, but he accepted the job in the next days. And so that's hearing, obviously, Romano Italian. He knows Conte. Conte smoke, all coming from Conte's camp. He wants the job. Absolutely. He smells blood in the water. United not convinced on him. And so I think what we're seeing this week is basically like the Glazers got a phone call. What happened? Liverpool? Who were they?
They weren't at the game, bro. Edward wasn't at the game.
They don't understand nothing, right? And then then it's like, oh, you know, and then they're like, so what should we do? I was like, well, we probably need to get rid of him because everyone's leaving the stadium. And, you know, apparently this is really bad for us. And they're like, what about the dividend? Oh, the dividend's fine. so then why would we care? This is like NFL, right? We just stick with them.
Like, oh, we might miss Champions League and then we don't make as much money and then the dividend's harder to take. Right?
Well, they just don't care. And that's the whole. So first of all, if you were watching this team this season under Ole, even like the Newcastle result going back then,
right,
you would have to say, like, if I was running this football club, I would be putting feelers out, dude. Like, I would have a replacement ready. This is a $3 billion business, and I'm like, I gave Ole these guys, and Sancho's not really getting any involvement. And so obviously five games in, you're kind of like, And then it starts kind of falling, and then you're like, And then you have an international break, and you're like, he's got to really turn this around, and he doesn't. And then it's like, you should be calling people. Like, there should be, like, feelers placed. The backup, like, lined up. Like, hey, you're ready to go. Conte, you really want the job. You're a man up. If Ole doesn't perform against Liverpool, it's yours, right? I would think there would be something like that. We have a week. There's a week in between the game for Spurs. It's doable.
It's perfect time to do it.
Had to do it Monday.
The fact that we're not doing it is so it's such an indictment on the board.
Because they don't they don't understand the dynamics. They're not. They don't have their finger on the pulse. They're not trying to think about winning the league. They're not. You could look at Chelsea. Be like, hey, they got rid of Lampard. They brought in all these players. Lampard couldn't get the best out of them. They found another manager. He did. They won the Champions League. It's right there.
And how fast did they move? They didn't drag their feet. They didn't let Lampard bleed out even more. Let a club legend just like die on the vine to the point where you're going to let him lose more games? What if we get smoked by Spurs? We did lose to Spurs 6-1. That was a red card game under Ole. But like you said, it could get much worse. And all it does is make the brand weaker, make the club weaker. They have to move, sir. And they're not moving. They had no succession plan. And that tells you everything you need to know. They didn't even they probably didn't even watch the Europa League finals. Like, oh, you already made it in Champions League. Finished second. Gave him a 3-year renewal. So they just
well, let's be fair. Like honestly, let's be fair to the Glazers. Okay. Okay. We lost to West Ham at EFL. Oh, Ole rotated. Okay. Okay. Villa lost to them. Oh, Villa. No, they're not good. The Glazers probably haven't even heard of them. Then Villarreal. It's like, whoa, we played horribly, and came back and won. Then kind of like a pedestrian draw. And then, like, all right, well, we kind of finished, like, two losses, a draw, and then, like, game where we played horribly and we won, right? And then you go into international break, and you're like, all right, well, even we said, like, it's a good time to stop the bleeding, got to go to international break. Then you come and you lose to Leicester 4-2, you're looking for managers then.
Then.
Like, 4-2 Leicester, you're looking for managers. Then Atalanta, after losing to Leicester, we start off 2-0. And then, at that point, I'd be like, he's dead. And then, yeah, you might give him Liverpool just because it's right at the weekend and see what he can do. And then you get that, he's out.
He has to be.
If anyone's running this team, that's what has to happen. And the fact that we're going to have to, like, I don't think I've quite seen anything like this. The fact we're going to have to watch Tottenham, Atalanta away, and shitty at home.
Tottenham's away, too.
Glazers are making their bed. And I'm cheering for this team. But I'm saying, once you lose the locker room, man, it's a hard thing to get back. And if you look at Jose's final run for Manchester United, it is nothing like what Ole has run. It's unbelievable how much worse Ole has played than Jose did. And they confidently fired him. I just think that they didn't like him, right? Remember, he was fighting with the board. He was difficult in the press.
So they thought they had hit easy street. They thought they had found only Mr. Nice Guy, sir, who was just going to go along with everything, win, get them Champions League football, and not rock the boat. And now that is like blowing up their plan. They're like, well, this is going to work fine. He's going to take us back to the promised land. And at the same time, we could keep the cash grab going. So they were going to try and buy another sports team. They could barely run this sports team. They're running this into the ground. They're like, we need another one because we are so on top of our game. We need another thing to focus on that we have no experience doing. Running a cricket team, bro. They have no idea how to run a football team. Why would they have any idea how to run a cricket team? And the fact that, like, so the tone from the fans walking out of Old Trafford was that it was done. They were going to wake up in the morning and it was like, is it Conte or Zidane? It wasn't a if, it was a when. It was a tomorrow. Everyone was like, I never see, people were pissed, but they weren't that pissed at the manager. They were just like, it's time to go. Who's it going to be? And it's inevitable. And the fact that it hasn't, and this slow bleed out of all the dirty laundry from the players, it's so bad for us. And they have no idea because they don't give a shit because they're not watching Sky, bro. They're not on Reddit, Red Devil. You know, they don't give a shit. So they're really just looking at the league table, Champions League group. I guess, you know, maybe the next three games. Let's see how the next three games go. I mean, when this came out, you're like, what the fuck? Next three games, bro? I'm like, get your shit together. Go look. Find a manager.
It literally makes no sense because if you look at when Mourinho was fired, so his final four games, Southampton 2-2, Arsenal 2-2, Fulham 4-1, and then he lost to Liverpool 3-1 away at Anfield. He lost to Liverpool at Anfield and was sacked after that. And then that game was on December 16th. He was fired on the 18th. We played Cardiff City on the 22nd, caretaker manager Ole, we won. Then Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Newcastle. So, like, why wouldn't you give Jose more time? Because you have Cardiff, Huddersfield, Bournemouth. You know what I'm saying? It's just like
there's no argument to be made. So there's no – the only argument
that's
is –
That's the whole thing. Is like no what argument. They're doing right now is literally solely because – Ole gives them cover and they want him in the job because they do not want to have to bring in a wild card who wants to win. Think of any manager who's coming. They're going to come to want to win to better their career. Ole is arguably the only guy who would carry that much water for them because of his CV coming in. They have so much leverage over him, just like Murtaugh. Murtaugh is never a DOF, so he's going to do whatever they want because if Murtaugh gets axed, he ain't never getting a job ever again.
He'll get a job. He'll get a job like Bristol City. Yeah, I mean, but not like a big club. He'll go to like a club where, you know, like League Two, where he belongs.
Just going into parallels on sacking, I thought it was interesting because I tried to like look, you know, for parallels. So like Cardiff City was in the championship when they sacked Ole. Ole was sacked with 7 games into the season at Cardiff, right? So he was the manager before, got relegated, which is the same thing for Manchester United as losing the Europa League final to Villarreal. You know, it's like you finish the season not great, starts off in the championship. The last 4 games, he managed Cardiff City, lost to Wolves 1-0, drew Fulham, lost to Norwich 4-2, and then lost to Middlesbrough 1-0.
But Cardiff is not a good comp, bro. It's like they were a shit team. Cardiff, they were even better. They were even worse team after they got relegated. There's no argument. But the whole thing is like,
no.
We're beating a dead horse. Obviously, you should get fired. It's like the point is like now it's beyond that. We know it.
Sir, you don't even let me finish my point that I'm going to say. Cardiff City fired Ole. Yeah. Ole lost 3 of his last 4 and drew 1 in the league. Cardiff fired him for that. And arguably, the goal differential is better for Cardiff. He only lost by 1 goal to Middlesbrough. We lost by 5. Do you know what I'm saying? Cardiff City sacked him for the same form. Lost 3. He got 1 point from 4 games in the league. Cardiff City sacked him. And arguably, the Middlesbrough loss and the Norwich loss isn't a record historical loss to your bitter rival. Cardiff sacked him. Like, what is Manchester United doing?
We're an inferiorly run club than Cardiff, probably. So we're like, I've been saying, we're one of the worst run football clubs in the world. Like, Barcelona are the only ones ahead of us because they're literally broke as a joke. They need like a $1 billion bailout. Like, we are a terribly run organization. Terribly. We're run by like a rich bunch of trust fund babies, like you said, who literally appointed a bunch of ex-accountants to run the club. Woodward. Arnold, who is like, when's he taking over, bro? It doesn't matter because they're basically boys from Bristol. They went to Bristol University together. That's the whole reason. It's like nepotism added in with just incompetency and just so they don't give a shit. They're not tuned in, like you said. They don't have their fingers on the pulse. And the fact that Cardiff, the point you're trying to make is Cardiff made a decision quicker than United is.
Yes.
Like, they're just like, they don't have a succession plan, bro. They have nothing planned, and now they're scrambling, hopefully.
That's what Cardiff did. Cardiff appointed a manager for 2 weeks who's interim, and then they hired somebody permanent.
That's what they should be doing right
the
now.
The way to do it is, okay, 1 point from four, thank you. Here's your severance. Phelan or Carrick, or pick somebody. You can run the team for the next 3 games. Then we have international break, and we're going to get a manager by then. But you got to stop the bleeding, because it's almost like you said, sir, all the press, the players, everything. You got to hit stop. The fact Ole has to face the press on Friday, that's rough for him. Then we got to show up against Tottenham. The good thing is I watched Tottenham against West Ham. They are horrid.
I know.
Tottenham are very poor.
They're above us at the table, sir.
Really? I know, but I watched them play West Ham. They were bad. They were very, very bad. Like, Nuno is like on the same chopping block that Ole is right now, and it's not looking good for either manager. So this will be, a ball to watch Saturday. I think we have a good chance at winning. Maybe that's because I'm a biased fan from the couch, but sir, with these types of results, you know, 1 point from four, the last time it happened was in 2015 with LVG. That cost him his job. That was sort of when it was over. And like I said, it did happen with Sir Alex in 91-92, but he did win the FA Cup that season, which saved him. And notice what we're talking about here. We're not yelling at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We're not saying he's a bad guy. You know, he's a Manchester United legend. He gave it all he got, right? But unfortunately, when the level of the locker room hit a certain level, it's above his pay grade. And a certain, only there's a top tier manager that can handle that. And, you know, Ole has fallen short based on the results. And then Manchester United is a meritocracy. But it's the board that needs to run this team. It's the board that needs to make sure that we aren't, you know, short in the midfield. you get what I'm saying?
They're not light up front. We got plenty of strikers.
Like, look at who is a part of this organization. You have the Glazers, Ed Woodward, who resigned out of shame for the Super League.
And he's still hanging around,
making bad decisions, who hired Murtaugh. And oh, by the way, the replacement for Ed Woodward is this little numpty. And then, okay, Murtaugh's working with who? Darren Fletcher. What's his credentials? Who's running what? And then you get down to like Ole, and then he's got Phelan and Carrick and McKenna, and then McKenna's running the training, but he doesn't have first team training experience. Came from the academy, and then Carrick and McKenna are training him to do one thing, and then on the match day they're doing another. And it sounds like no one knows what the fuck they're doing, because the guys at the top, it all starts at the board, and it all trickles down, and that's what we're seeing on the field. How could this team with these wages play this shit? There you go. It all starts at the top, sir. # Glazers out. That's what it's always been about.
This is it, dude. I mean, that's a great way to like complete the Ole package going up on 40 minutes now, giving it the cover it deserves. But like you said, it's a board indictment, because this is crisis mode. And I don't think it really hit me until we went through the news, sir. All this leaking stuff from the players is so bad. Them throwing the tactics under the bus, all the assistant managers under the bus. Some of which are freaking ex-legends under the bus or by the players' camps. It's like, this is full-on crisis mode, and they are literally sitting on their hands, bro, doing F-all, like doing nothing about it. And we're like, you did all the good work of – dude, Ole did some good work. The squad is very solid. There's a lot of good youth that are breaking on through, and we made some big additions this summer. Now it became obvious, like, he's not the dude. Put him out of his misery. He's a freaking legend. He will always be a player legend to this club, and he will always have a positive remembrance about what he did in this period of time with the squad. But, like, dude, you gotta, like, put us out of our misery and put him out of his fucking misery, dude, for his own sake, for the club's sake. What are you doing? And it's like, damning. It's an egg on their face, and they're doing nothing. Like, give him 3 more games. What? Give him 3 more games? Like, he's in the $3 million business, and they got a $100 million check up for grabs for the Champions League. So it's like, what are they doing, sir? What are they doing?
You know what? I think you got to end it on talking about Ole and, you know, when he came in, like, I went through the results with Mourinho, right? And it's Mourinho's attitude and the football. So he antagonized the board and he played negative football and he told us that we never won anything in Europe. He just had a bad attitude, yeah. Bad apple.
Yeah, he was bad.
Blew it up with Pogba, and the team was in a really the lowest of low. And Ole kind of was that, like, that hurt more than this, sir. Cause we felt so dejected. And then like Ole comes in and we go on this great run. He shot the bet at the end of that season. And the real mistake, if you want to go back, was them giving him the offer after PSG, right? Because if they waited to the end of the year and said, hey, make top four, the job's yours, he wouldn't have made it. And we wouldn't have moved on. And that was probably always what was meant to be. But even after that, what Ole has done is he steadied the ship and he allowed us to sort of rebuild. And right now, where we are is in such a better spot than where Mourinho left us. In such a good spot that it begs for an elite manager to try to get us to win things. And is that really a negative that Ole did such a good job steadying the ship through COVID, tough times for the club financially, was able to get top four in really critical spots for us, which actually really did matter, and then coalesce and work in the transfer market with the board to sign some great young talent and bring through young talent in the ranks that are going to lead Manchester United to hopefully the glory days again, or, you know, silverware again. But I just think his tactics on the day are not elite enough to try to win us silverware. And it's almost like he did the job he needed to do. So it is the right time to say goodbye. It isn't saying he isn't a good coach. It's like we actually really needed him to do exactly what he did, and now is the perfect time to move on. The board just are clueless. You know, I really don't want to end it on a negative for Solskjaer, but it, like you said, it's like almost like I feel bad for Solskjaer having to go again and again and again, and I want it to go well these games, but it's like, where is this really going to lead us? And it's just going to hurt more. Like I said, in a relationship, when it's done, it's done. The more it drags, it's not going to feel better.
No.
Because you're going to be cheering for him, and you're going to be like, oh, it's going
to
be.
You don't need to go that weekend away. It's like
City at home?
You don't need to go on that weekend away. You just like end it then. You're like, hey, hon, this is exactly. Not working out.
At home, really?
You're I think we should see
him up for City at home,
sir. He inherited a double black diamond job, and that's because like the situation he was in, and it's an incompetent board. It's like a truly incompetent board. Like, don't let them fool you. They tried to destroy football like 6 months ago. They were the masterminds behind that.
Oh, they're gonna communicate with the fans.
Yeah.
We haven't heard shit.
Yeah. I tell you what, Old Trafford looks like a 100-year-old stadium, sir. It needs a refresh. It needs a revamp. It's like amazing. You know, they make the megastore look great, but like you look underneath that stadium, sir, it is like it looks like it's rotting, and because it needs a $1 billion rebuild, it's like they don't give a shit. They want to just basically get us back to as high of a position as they can, and then sell us and invest as little money, interest, time, and effort. And Ole, you have to be said, it's like let's leave it on a positive. He inherited like a basically impossible job, did as well as he could, and came up short in one area that now the team needs. And you know what? He deserves to be like showed out the door gracefully instead of allowing all these players to just muck up dirt. Exactly. And make us look like shit, make him look like shit, make themselves. It's so bad after all the improvement. It's like you're taking away all the good work of the last 3 years by letting the players and their agents just burn the fucker down on his way out. That's all it is.
He's going to get paid handsomely.
Yeah, he does. 20 mil.
You know, sir, so look, I think that we covered the Ole. There's going to be a lot more to come. But, sir, this is like club in crisis. You got to discuss it. The board, everything. Hashtag Glazers out. Green and gold till the club is sold, sir. We always have that Glazers out sale on AmericanRedDevils.com. We will never get rid of the Glazers out sale. $9.99 for green and gold scarf. They're great. You wore yours to the match. I've worn mine every single match I've ever been to. You know, this ownership, we can't take our eye off the ball. I felt like this summer the Muppets took their eye off the ball, sir. You know, you have to applaud the board for getting Ronaldo in, but you got to criticize them for the dividends, the financials, as well as, you know, the cashing on the stock they continue to do. and then just not even watching the games or knowing how to manage the football team. Or maybe they rely on Ed Woodward to do it, who equally sucks and should be leaving. But we have a next match, sir. Let's break it down. Tottenham versus Manchester United, Saturday, October 30th, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, sir. 10 games in, whew, and the train's already breaking down. We're already like, could you imagine sign Sancho, Ronaldo, Varane? 10 games in, meltdown.
Meltdown. It's going to go two ways. It was going to go, you meltdown. Know, after Villarreal, this is always a very likely possibility.
I'll tell you, you
better than 50%.
You don't win the league like this, sir. You don't win the league when you're melting down already. Tottenham coming into this game, they are not playing too well. 2-1, they beat Villa. They beat Newcastle 3-2. Europa Conference League, LOL. They lost to Vitesse. then they lost to West Ham. And then they just lost to Burnley they beat Burnley in the EFL Cup. I watched the West Ham game. They look disjointed. He's not playing well. Son, they can't connect. It just kind of looks like same thing. Like the manager issues there. Still, they have a better record in the league than we do coming into this fixture. Nuno, he's not as hot as Ole, but it's hot. And I guess the question is, who's going to flinch first here? We're playing at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We do have a good away record. We beat them 3-1 last year. You remember that game?
Love that game.
Epic game. Great probably game. The best. That was a game of the season. Aside from that Europa League final, sir, what do you
cheeky sir, take my eyes. I think I'd rather watch us get smoked 5-0 by Liverpool than have to watch the entire Villarreal 12 fucking penalties kill me. That was horrible.
Yeah, that was
I'd rather watch the 90 minutes of just like pure just beat down. We just got like kicked in the face, dude, versus like Villarreal with the slow bleed torture fest.
Yeah, the good part is us hanging out with my son, and then just the way they scored the goals just said, yep. It's over.
Dude, like, slit, cut open. Sir, you've never seen a game. You've never seen a performance like this, sir. We just look like, I tell you, like college soccer.
Worst I've ever seen.
Soccer, sir, that's the key word, versus Brazil.
Oh, we're going to beat him. I can imagine all day, you're like 4 hours before the game. Let's go. We're going to beat them. Oh, screw them. It's like first 5 minutes and the match is over.
Dude, and it's over. It's gone. So chanting stopped early, sir. It was quiet early. And then it was loud at the end, which, you know, made me very happy.
Nuno is suffering from the same 4-2-3-1 that Ole plays. We got Lloris and Ned Reguilón, who was that left back we were linked to. Glad we didn't sign him. Dyer Romero, center back, pairing Emerson on the right. At right back, Skip and Højbjerg. I do rate Højbjerg. Son and Dombele, Lucas on the right, and Kane up top. Decent pacer. You know, if we try to play open against them, it'll be trouble. I think Ole's going to pack it in tight. Tight like a
More McFred. He's playing more McFred.
Okay, more 4-4-2. Tight like a tiger. He's going to pack it in. Tottenham, we all know that they're a joke, founded in 1882. Sir, you know, lads, it's Tottenham. You know, they've won 2 league titles, 8 FA Cups, 4 league cups, 7 community shields. They should rename the community shield after Tottenham. And they've won 1 European Cup, Winners' Cup, and 2 UEFA Cups, sir. No Champions League for Tottenham. Obviously, Arsenal, their fiercest rival, sir. I went to the old Tottenham Stadium. I've been, you know, it's like funny traveling and watching other matches when we go watch United, and it's like, man, they're soft.
We saw them play Leicester, and they were soft.
You go to a pub.
Softest fans you've ever met.
In North London, and it's just like, it's like they're wannabe United fans.
They're like wannabe Arsenal. They're like the softest, like tissue soft. They're as soft as they come.
Exactly. Injuries, physio room, Paul Pogba, he's suspended 3 matches. LOL. He's not going to have to participate.
he's out, by the way, officially. News is like, I'm out. Yeah, I'm good.
Varane could be back. Martial could be back. And Ahmad, what's going on with Ahmad? Very strange there. What is your lineup given those injuries, sir? You going to come up with something new?
I'm going to come up with something new. Who the hell knows what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to come up with in his what do we even call this? Like, is his like goodbye tour? Like the last three games out? Like,
farewell tour.
There you go, perfect. De Gea in net, world number one. Who else? AWB, Maguire, Bae Shaw, Matic, Fred, Bruno, Cavani, Ronaldo, Rashford. We'll see what happens. What do you got, sir?
Sir, Ole's got to make some drops. I'm going to say Dave saves in net. Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Bae, Telles. You got to drop Shaw. You got to drop Maguire. You got people who can come in and do the job. Shaw has to be dropped after that performance. Telles is a great player. We don't see him enough. McTominay, Fred. Sir, you got to get McFred with cheese. You can't, you know, no, he's going to try to. Imagine playing McFred and losing 5-0. LOL. Bruno, Greenwood on the
Greenwood,
and Rashford on the left. Sir, that's how the Scouse bastards chanting Ole's at the wheel. Everybody, all my friends texted me. They're just like, yeah, make sure to don't fire him. I don't think I've ever gotten that. I've never gotten like overwhelming, like other fans being like, don't fire him because we want him to stay. He's that bad. I don't think I've ever gotten like LVG, Moyes. Maybe Moisey.
Moisey was pathetic because he was like, he was just like whistling in the wind.
And then Mourinho, you didn't.
Because LVG was a madman. He was so fucking confident, right? Everything he did was great. He was the worst recruiter we've ever had. Worse than Moise.
He won the FA Cup. I could use an FA Cup. Booking the bookies. It looks like Tottenham's the favorite here. Plus 135, United plus 190, draw plus 250. So we're coming in crisis here. So Harry Kane.
We're the favorite.
Sorry?
We're the favorite. They're plus 190. We're plus 135.
All right. Still the favorite. Harry Kane, he is number one to score in this match, plus 370.
Ronaldo slipping in those, sir. Remember how high he was at the beginning of the season?
I know.
Like plus 200.
Sir, it's time for score prediction. I will say I predicted 5-2 Liverpool would win. I thought we could at least score two. You would think with that front line we could actually score some goals. I got the Liverpool tally right. What is your score prediction for Tottenham? Just tooting my own horn there.
So I don't even know. What's it going to be? Like, I don't even – I have no idea. I mean, I never have any idea. Like 1-0 United. Let's go United. I don't know how it's going to go.
Sir, I bet United to beat Liverpool.
So did I, bro. I lost every bet I made in the UK. Every bet I made,
like,
I lost.
Two times the money for us to beat Liverpool at home. Like, we're a tough team. Look at that roster.
We got it.
Yeah, some rivals. They're going to get up for it.
They're going to get up for it. So I lost every bet I made, including betting extra money on United. So I lost that. What do you got? Score prediction.
Yeah, I'm going. They're going to win. my score for sir, can you, what was yours again? Can you repeat that?
1-0 United. Clean sheet, baby. Very confident. Yeah, not confident at all, bro. It's probably like 1-1, probably.
3-1 Tottenham.
Oh, yikes.
3-1 Tottenham, bro. I you know.
Sir, I wish the Perez. How
do we play better, you know?
I don't know. It was pretty bad, sir.
I think we'll. I'm going to say that just to hedge. We should beat this team. We should beat Tottenham. This is like, if there was, this is a good bounce back game. It's kind of like everyone thinks Tottenham's good for whatever reason. They're not, and they're not playing well. And if the lads come out and lay an egg, like, he's got to go before Atalanta. You understand? Like this whole, like, losing the dressing room thing, it's weird. If you haven't watched European football, it just, like, happens, and it's, like, hard to get it back because Ole's just saying, like, he's like, wah, wah, wah. No one's listening to him anymore. And it's like, if we show a fight here, we can easily beat Tottenham. And then the question is, like, what the fuck from there? It's like, really? Who knows?
I can't even call it, sir, because like you said, it's like...
You, the odds of me and you listening to this podcast in, like, 7 months having won the Champions League and Ole being at the wheel?
Zero.
He's got nine lives, but it's like...
No way. No way, bro. You had to be there, sir. I'm sure Arlo White... Is in some ways worse. Listen to him for 90 minutes, like just like slobber all over Liverpool. Like that's probably pretty brutal. This game, it was like a famous, infamous game that I'll like unfortunately always be at, sir. But I'll remember that game the rest of my life, sir.
I'll never. And it's funny because my first game I went to was Liverpool at home, and like we went down. Torres scored. And it was just the fierceness and the fight from United was unbelievable. The team's just like that's what I don't understand. And it's funny. I listened to there's a great podcast, High Performance Podcast. They interviewed Sam Deitch, and he talked about like how he gets his team in line, and he said he didn't even talk about formation because he talked about like, you know, just principles and how he expects every player to give everything they have. And that's like first versus like how you set up. And it doesn't matter how he set up, because if you saw the players, they weren't giving it all. You know what I'm saying?
Anything. They were going through the motions.
That's the scariest part and the saddest part, is that that's what Ole has really lost, is that the team's not playing hard. They're not playing as one. And then when they start, and then you're right, when they start dumping all the agent stuff in the press, that's all that ego, save myself. And that's when the team element is lost. So I think people underestimate that. But hey, let's jump into some fan questions before we leave, sir. We can yammer on about this. We've talked about this on the phone as well. Like, we talk about this all the time.
Daily.
This is our lives. This is the real. We're not pulling punches here.
Our poor wives, sir.
But hey, this is a tough time for all United fans, all American Red Devils. Pod therapy, sir. At Jared United, quote, "The team on the field reflects the board. No leadership, no plan. A group of individuals all trying to go in different directions. No plan of succession, no tactics. I guess that's where we are. Hashtag Glazers out." Thought that was a great.
Sorry, sir. I accidentally pressed up. No, that's a great take, because, dude, it trickles down from the boardroom and we just look like we're out of sorts. Full on crisis.
At Jordan underscore R, big shout out to Jordan. Quote, "What happens if United win the next game? No sack until the next loss? What is Woodward doing? I could be wrong, but it seems like all of a sudden the dressing room leaks are happening for a reason. ...
So our fans are smart. Our fans are very smart.
At Bleeding, yeah, I'm like criticizing McKenna's training. Like, oh my God. Oh, that's sad. That's so sad.
That's so bad.
Imagine McKenna going into, like, he does look like he doesn't have, like, the iPads, those got to go.
Sir, he wasn't in the, like, box the whole game. That's another diamond.
Remember the iPads? Like, Sir Alex Ferguson never had an iPad.
Sir Ole wasn't in the box the entire game. Like I said, like, he was not in the technical box at all. Playing the biggest rival, a huge game, must win. They'll get their ass kicked. And he was not, it was feeling, my man. Feeling.
I think he meandered over there a little bit. I'm
very little.
Sorry, he had a lot of dark ales.
Not that many. Stopped at 3 p.m. I quit at 3 p.m., sir. I did a 4-hour sprint.
At Bleeding Red SD11, quote, "In my eyes, I think Ole would be a perfect director of football for us. He knows exactly the DNA of United and knows the types of players we should be getting. Then we bring in the right coach. What do you guys think of this craziness? Hashtag Man United till I die." I do agree that Ole could play some role for the club. I don't think he needs to be in the necessarily chain of footballing operations, but more of just like a mascot, sir. Like Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. You know,
on MUTV, like, bro. Just
director
being like,
of culture, you know, or something like that.
Director of people. You know it was a bullshit tech title.
Yeah, but like those matter, you know, like the guy who's like.
You'll give him the Fred the Red costume, bro.
He's kind of vague, but he's like there to make sure that we always do it the United way. So, like, if, you know, the cafeteria has like the wrong frosting.
We are fucked. You know, we are so screwed.
He like goes there and tells him, "Hey, it's gotta be red. We're Red Devils. We don't need blue cookies anymore."
Squad therapy. This is pod therapy.
He's gonna go around and just tell people, "Hey,
hey, man.
Hey, we do it the United way."
Whatever the hell that, yeah, there you go.
And he'd be like, "Yeah, they could put him on the payroll. Just move him somewhere."
they gotta get him out. Unfortunately, like, that sounds like a great idea, but they probably should have done that the first year. And it's just like, they're not gonna be able to pull that off in a way that makes sense and allows a new coach to come in and have his imprint and not have Ole just sneaking around Carrington. So it's like, you gotta just clean break, bro. It's like you said, it's like you gotta erase the girl's phone number. I'm not saying we have to go that hard. Like, you're not taking down like pictures of Ole, but. You need to get him out and get new blood in. And like, you know.
No,
like,
I do agree that.
Like, unfollow on Instagram, the equivalent of the girlfriend, right? It's like, you just cut it out. No reminders for right now.
The one thing that I will say that I think as you learn things about a manager, his favoritism has come through. You know, he's really kind of like a weirdo with the favoritism, and you know, and that's like really that kind of like old school mentality, where it's like, dude, it's got to be a meritocracy. You got Donnie, you got Telus, you got, you know, Jesse, Mata, Sancho. Like, these guys got to play. You know what I'm saying? Like something happens when Ed Woodward gives them new deals or signs a big player. Like, Donnie signed, and it's like, you should play him.
So why do you think Richard Arnold is the next guy in line, bro? Like, dude, it's not the best guy who's good. It's all about nepotism, favoritism. That's why, like, who's running our club? The bankers that pull off the deal. They're not even, they're accountants, sir. Belly Jean. Bean counters, sir. Like, unbelievable. They're running the football club.
I know. apologies to all the accountants.
No disrespect.
But
you should. I mean, come on,
sir. My brother-in-law is an accountant. We have
nothing wrong with being an accountant. I'm just, you know what I'm saying, sir. It's like accounting and football operations for a giant club. It just, you know, Ed Woodward did a shit job.
Yes,
why would the next guy who also has zero experience do any better of a job, sir? And that's why, like, it runs deep. We're just run incompetently by a bunch of morons.
Yeah, but the Glazers are more you know, they're like Scrooge, man. They just want someone to make sure to count the shroot bucks, making sure they're getting that's what they prioritize.
That's it,
right?
Dude. Cash.
At you, Bosun, quote, "It's a sad state of affairs. No real leadership to be found at the club. I understand the reluctancy to act rashly. But the latest game was a culmination of months and poor displays. Not a surprise. Contingency should have been ready." Ulrich, always sharp.
Well said. That's very
agencies. $3 billion public company. No clue. They treat it like their own piggy bank. At Biebs, UNF pod. Quote, "New formation 3-4-3. Donnie in the middle alongside Fred? ? Would love to see Lindelof, Maguire, Varane back three with Sancho on the right. Right midfield. Rashford, Bruno, and Ronaldo up top. Shaw is left wing back. What are your thoughts?" Look, I love it.
I love it.
Honestly, like, remember we played a back three
against PSG and kicked
PSG
their ass
away, and we like beat them, and like Twanzebe's involved, and Telus is involved, and we looked really good. Like, whatever happened to that? Like, that disappeared.
I had no idea, bro. Like, I had
no idea.
And
that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, he got that pucker up factor, and it's just like Fred McTominay, 4-2-3-1. Same thing every time. He used to try things. Something happened. I don't know what happened.
Something happened.
He kept it, and whatever happened to Ole is the reason why he is where he is, because there's a lot of options. And like you just said, those are ideas. And those are ideas worth exploring against Aston Villa.
You know? Or even a City. Like, you did it against PSG because they were such a good team. Not City. Liverpool are a good team. Dude, you should have done it then. Like, try something new. Try something new. You have players you can try. Try it. Give it a try. Give it a go. Like I said, someone who comes in next, doesn't matter who it is, they will play Donny Van de Beek. I guarantee, as long as he isn't sold by the time Ole is fired and someone else, like, he will get game time. There is no doubt in my mind. There are players that are on the fringe that will get minutes, and they'll get a bunch of minutes, and it's going to change all of a sudden very quickly, and just put the man out of his misery.
Well, that's what I'm excited for. That's what, as a fan, I want to get to. I want to get to the new angle from a new manager with this roster, because this roster should be playing exciting football that arguably could win the Champions League, sir. That could, like, really go, like, this team with the right manager can really win things. The potential is there, and the potential is that the fact that we're making the mistakes we are, and we're losing in that fashion to the Scouse Bastards, who never got out of first gear. They didn't even play well, dude. That's the scariest part of it all. And that's where you have to, like, that's why you need football people running this club. Because if you watch that game, like you said, Liverpool weren't even trying, and they'd absolutely murdered us.
Murdered us.
And that's the scariest part
of
it all, is they weren't even trying, and they beat us 5-0. They didn't even score after Pogba went off.
Dude, they took their foot off the gas. They stopped trying. They was a respect. Honestly, I give Klopp, because you could tell, dude, they took the foot off the guy and they just passed it around and let us not have the ball.
I would have scored more.
They could have scored 9 goals, bro. They could have scored. I said 15. They could have scored 15 goals if they just like actually. They were playing like we were playing a really good team, as well as they can. They would have like embarrassed us, and they did. And like they now we're embarrassing ourselves, sir. Sir, exactly. And I had more Stella Artois than they scored goals, so I won. I win that day. 4 hour sprint, baby. Let's go. Lou Bakari fish chips. Check it out. And so they were hitting it that day. It was delish. Hot out of the fryer. That was one of the highlights before it all went downhill. The concessions also are like a great indictment. Like they have the worst beer you've ever seen in a plastic bottle. I think it's Carly. And it was terrible. And it's like, this is Old Trafford, bro. You should have like fucking pints of, you should have Guinness on tap. Like you had at every pub in the UK.
They got some pretty spicy dark ales, but look. Sir, it's been a spicy pod. There's no way to do ones like this. The emotion, the passion is going to come through. I mean, it's just these people that own this club, they're messing with us. They're messing with Ole. It's like they don't know what they own. They don't respect it. They don't respect the fans. They don't respect sort of the passion of all the, like, the fans leaving. Like, I've never seen it's in, like, the scar on our club and its history, that result is just, it's just like, it's rough, dude. And it's like, and actions need to be taken. And they just, I can hear like people trying to tell them that it matters and they just don't get it. You know, that's probably what's going on is they're like, we like Ole, you know, give him some time.
Look, you can turn around, man. You can turn around.
Aren't we like last one we had? We kept him around for like 20 years. He won a lot of things.
This guy, he can win some stuff. They don't know anything. They don't
like,
care.
It's like they're clueless. And like you said, sir, starts at the top. Who knows if they can bring us a title? It doesn't seem to be their priority.
No,
it doesn't seem to be their priority, sir. The people broke in the stadium. They bought a few players. They quelled the protests, which is unfortunate. But it wasn't enough. And it's like this team isn't about top four. It's not about dividends. It's about winning titles, sir. We're coming up on 10 years and we're not heading in the right direction. I know that. And you in Newcastle getting like insane amounts of money. Competition's heating up, sir. And that's the craziest part is like we had a shot at it. And to waste that shot, you can't mess around because who knows what's going to happen in a couple of years.
So they've learned nothing. I mean, we can just keep beating this horse, but it's like they've learned nothing. It's like they saw how the Ed Woodward years went, and they're like, oh, this is fine. Like, he didn't blow $1 billion, and like how many squads we had to be built and rebuilt and rebuilt and manager to it's like they've learned nothing, sir. They don't give a shit because the money is good. Even with the pandemic, they were still taking their fucking dividends. Like, the money is good because it's on borrowed money. It's like the debt is still there. We got five. I know, of course they will eventually. It's inevitability. It's a hopefully it's sooner rather than later because we will stagnate as long as they own this club because they just don't care. Like you said, they have no appreciation for the greatness of a club like Manchester United. Like, you have to be there. You have to feel it. You have to know it. You have to know the fans. You have to know why they travel, why they spend their money and their time to devote to this club. It's because it's a special fucking thing. It is an organism, a living organism. And right now it is bleeding in real time, and they ain't doing nothing about it. And they don't even realize, like, this is about, dude, be selfish. Their capitalistic mentality. It's like, this will be worth more money if you run it properly. It's like, look at what Liverpool, and like, I don't want to use them as a comp, but they had money people come in, but private equity people that actually put a front office in, and they're like, they made good decisions. And it's like, it's not that hard to do, dude. It is not that hard to do. Even a Leeds, they're run better. It's like, we're run by clowns. And that's why the clown shirt serve was so appropriate. It's because they are clowns in every sense of the word. And that's all I got to say about that.
Sir, I want you to finish the pod with a story that you said you got emotional in the game.
No, I mean,
okay. You got to tell it like, because you didn't, you kind of told it, but you got to tell the story when like people left.
No, this like, is like, know, this is a testament to this club.
Say, like, what it is.
A testament to this club. Like, the game was a special game. In not all the right reasons, of course. Terrible moment, catalyst. Like, everyone knows you got to get rid of the guy, do him a favor. But you're sitting there, right? So the game went a certain way. Everybody was excited, cheering them on, cheering the players on the field, singing. We go down early, sir. We take a hit. Okay, fans are trying to stay positive. We go down another goal, gets real quiet. And then third goal in the first half, fourth goal. I was in the concession stand buying a ship piss beer. And then you get in the second half, and not everyone's left yet. But you walk out of the second half, and you can see the fifth, and a big crew left. And then we had the Pablo red card in the 60th minute. A bunch of fans left. And then everyone who was there just kind of watched. And they were just watching. And then, like, the 80th minute, sir, the Scouse bastards started singing "You'll Never Walk Alone." And there was just, like, a moment when everyone was like, this shall not stand. And everybody who was left stood up, and there was still more fans at that fucking game after everyone left than there is at a City game. So it's just like, there were still like 40,000 people there. You know, it wasn't 70, but it was 40. And they sung the Manchester United Calypso for the next 25 minutes. They clapped the players off the field. We clapped the players off the field. Only two players clapped us back, Harry Maguire and Eddie Cavani. And sir, it's just like, that is special. This club is special. Magic. There is no comp in American sport that ever will be to what this club is. And it's just, it's being a part of it, having this podcast, being a fan of this club, it is a honor. And I love this club. And that makes, I was like, I love it. I got a tear in my eye, so I got emotional. Because it's an embodiment of what this means to so many people. It's like, they lost 5-0. We look like dog shit. And we fucking, like, full voice, we look, we will not listen to the Scousers rubbing in our fucking face anymore. Sure, and it's like, that is what's about this club. That will never die. We will never die. And, like, we need to get these SOBs out ASAP because, like, they, you said it best. It's like, they don't have no idea what they own, bro. They have no appreciation for how amazing this club is. And at Real Madrid, they'd be whistling the players off the field, and we were fucking singing them off, bro. Singing them off. And they played, like, the worst game I've seen. I don't know how long, sir. But, like, that is respect, bro. Respect. Respect. Where is the... Dude.
Respect, man.
Dude, I love this club, bro. And that's why, like, this is tough because we're watching, like, a fucking family member die, bleed out, and, like, no one's saving them. Like, someone save them. Save us. Save us. So, sir, emotional pod, but I love this club. We'll never die. We'll be back, but I think it's going to take a while because I think these guys are hanging around for a while.
Pod never sleeps, sir. That was a great story. You had to tell it. That's it. That's the podcast. Can't end better than that, sir. That's what this club's about. 5-0. We're still singing. That's what it should always be about. We love this club. Hashtag Glazers out. American Red Devils, we're for fans by fans. Support the podcast on Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Visit our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have great blog content. Write a review on iTunes. It's free. Sir, give us our top 10 cities last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Chicago, Illinois. Appreciate everyone on this list. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. Number two, Montrose, UK. Orange, California. Busan, Republic of Korea. Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate you. Met a lot of lovely Irish people my weekend away. Charlestown, West Virginia. Franklin, Virginia. New York. Toronto, Canada. And West Vancouver, Canada. We also got Sydney on the list. Sydney, Australia, that is. Stoke-on-Trent. Doha, Qatar, sir. We'll be there. Uplands, Vasaby, Sweden. We got the best fans in the world. This is the best club in the world. We will be back. It's always darkest for the dawn, sir. Wake up, board. What the fuck are you doing? Wake up, boys. Wake up. Time to make a change. Sir, three more games. We'll be with you every step of the way.
Must-see TV, baby.
Oh, man, dude. Spurs, 9:30.
Must-see TV, that presser. That presser. They're going to feed him to the Sharks. Oh. Simon Stone will give him a layup for sure. Sir, you know, end this podcast. What song you got for us?
It's only one song to end this podcast, sir. Manchester United Calypso. This is what the fans were singing at Stretford End and around all of Old Trafford. And everyone who was left against the Scouse bastards. Sir, only song appropriate. You ready for this?
Absolutely. Take us out.
Here we go.